This is the Nine with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome to Nine. No messing around. We've got footy to talk about, a Pinder report, some Blue Jays news and notes. But right away, down we go to Torrey Pines in the San Diego region. Beautiful place. Luke Alvey, our good pal from Canmore to San Diego. You've got life figured out, Alvey. Never mind growing up in Sydney. Goodness.
I tell you, it feels a lot like Sydney. This is my third trip to Torrey Pines. I've done the Farmers Insurance Open a couple of times in recent years, and they've got the gum trees here, obviously the Pacific Ocean, and a real summery vibe, and it's electric this week for the US Open. I simply can't wait.
Yeah, well, you're in the trenches, the rest of us just kicking back here, but thank you for putting in the work. A lot of Bryson and Brooks talk that has stolen all the headlines, and probably rightfully so, I suppose. Do you agree?
To an extent, because golf, you know, it's the gentleman's game, isn't it? There's not very many salacious stories that we get to, you know, dive into. A bit of gossip. People love their gossip for some reason, and this is one of those gossipy type stories. But to be fair, you know, in golf, this is more people hitting each other with a soft pillow than genuine right hooks and left, you know, jabs. Sure. And things like that that you get in boxing. Two big stars of the game, and they're trying to create a little bit of interest, and people are talking about it.
Now, I guess the cynic out there might suggest, hey, you know, the tour has put up a bunch of dough for essentially social media clicks and, I don't know, fanfare and buzz. These guys know, yep, this really isn't bad. It's not going to cost them. It might even enrich them a bit.
Well, I think, honestly, in all, you know, serious deep dive stuff here, that's exactly what Brooks Koepka is doing. He is literally just putting his name up in lights a little bit more, and that's fine. I don't think there's genuine hatred or dislike. In fact, he said as much to me when I caught up with him last week at Congaree. I said, is this legit? Is this for real? And he just winked and smiled. He said, PIP money, mate. So,
interesting. You know, yeah, no, I don't think they see eye to eye. We heard him on Slow Play years ago. This isn't just since they announced that. But I think embellish might not be the right word, but magnify any, you know, I guess, shortcomings of Bryson's game or maybe a difference in philosophy isn't going to hurt him, right?
Exactly. And it's okay for two humans to not like each other. It's not the first time this has happened in life or in sports. You know, I just think that Brooks has taken it to another level by, you know, trying to be the alpha male at school, the, you know, bit of a schoolyard bully. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. He genuinely feels that he is the star of the show and deserves the attention. He's not stoked that Bryson got a lot of it when he started hitting these massive big ball, you know, drives, and everyone's getting excited about the game and where Bryson's taking it. But his game's gone a little south at the moment, and Brooks only seems to legitimately care about playing in major championships. That's the only thing that stokes his fire. So in his downtime, he's like, well, let's create a little bit of a fun feud, and if we make a few more dollars out of it, then terrific.
It is interesting when you look at Brooks's record, majors versus non, and he speaks openly about maybe perhaps his, yeah, mind wandering or getting a little bored with regular PGA Tour events. I mean, how is that possible? Like, we talk about the money on the line. We know it's the world's best. You know, you can pick the fields you want to play in. You can avoid the softer touch tournaments. You believe genuinely he gets a little, I guess, what, daydreamy during regular PGA events?
Daydreamy, I don't think is the right expression. I think he simply just does not care. He's that kind of character. He does not care about the game of golf. He is not someone who is trying to, you know, put up 30 PGA Tour wins in his career. He is, in his mind, an all-round sportsman who just happens to be great at golf, and that's why he's playing it for a living. If he was better at baseball, he'd be playing that. If he was taller, he'd be playing basketball. So when he gets to big championships, that's the stuff that stokes the fire within him, and that's what gets him up. And, you know, to be honest, if you look at his results, it speaks volumes. It basically, yeah, points to it. He has finished first or second in, I don't know exactly the stat here, but correct me if I'm wrong, 8 of the last 16 majors.
Jeez, wow.
So
he's just a competitor. This is a competitive SOB.
Right, that's what he is. That's exactly what he is. He is a guy that, you know, when he gets inside the ropes of a major, something clicks within him that goes, I'm the man to beat. I'm going to win this. which if you cast your mind back to 2008, when the most remarkable of victories happened right here at this very venue, and Tiger Woods won the US Open on one leg after grinding his way through and then beating Rocco Mediate in a 19-hole playoff the next day after holding that expect-anything-different putt on the Sunday, on the 18th green on Sunday, you know, that was a guy who just, he had to win. Now, I'm not comparing Brooks to Tiger in any stretch, but he's got that kind of mentality that these events bring out his best.
Interesting. Really interesting. Okay, so tell us about Torrey Pines. If I'm correct, at the Farmers, there's a north course, there's a south course, there's been renovations there. You play both at the Farmers, and then on the weekend, it's one of the two. What is different here? What will the USGA do to, you know, keep their reputation intact? Like, how different is this golf course going to play and feel than what we see in the early season golf in California?
So the north course is the course that they only play once back in February for the Farmers Insurance Open, recently done, retouched up by Tom Weiskopf. Fabulous course. This is a municipality property as well, which means it's public. Anyone can play. If you live here in the region, you play these courses for $30. That's unreal. I mean, you're walking in the footsteps of champions for $30.
You got to line up at like 5 a.m., but you can do it. You can.
It's like Beth Page Black, right? But what it is very, very hard. I've played the South Course, which is hosting the U.S. Open and was the host in 2008, once in 2013, and that will be the only time I'll ever play there. It is too hard for the common golfer. If you miss the fairway, it is bogey at best golf from there on in. And for someone who sprays it like I do, I'm playing for a lot of bogeys at Torrey Pines South. It does not pick my interest. It's not a golf course that I like. But what it does do, it brings out world-class winners. If you look through the history of that Farmers Insurance Open, name me someone who isn't a big star who's won it. It's very hard. Tiger won here 8 times. Phil's won here 3 times. Rambo's now stepped up and won here. Mark Leishman has won here. You just go through people. Jason Day's won here a couple of times. Justin Rose has won here. You go through the Rolodex of champions, and this property identifies the best player. Now, after talking to a couple of the players yesterday, obviously the rough is the difference this week compared to what it is in February. And the golf course is a little firmer and a little faster. It plays a little softer in February. But everything else is the same. The sight lines, the type of shot shapes that need to be hit, you know, ball in play, and be able to get the ball up and down when you do miss the targets. So don't expect too many things to change from the people who contend in February to the people who are going to have a crack here at the US Open.
And in February, it was Patrick Reed victorious. He's a name to watch. Give us a few others as we're scanning this third major of the season over the weekend.
I was bullish at the start of the year on John Rahm. After what happened to him at Muirfield Village a fortnight ago, and he was forced to withdraw with a, what was it, 6-shot lead going into Sunday, I just think he's got an enormous chip on his shoulder, and he's like, no, I'm not letting the next one get past me. This venue is perfect for him. You can't, in my opinion, get enough money on John Rahm this week. Now, that's not saying he's going to win it. It just feels like it's his week. Patrick Reed's a great tip. Xander Schauffele, local boy, it'd be a terrific story. Everyone's going, oh, could Phil do it again and complete the career slam? Look, it's his 51st birthday today. Happy birthday, Phil.
Wow.
What he did a month ago at the PGA, remarkable. Let's not deny it. Can he go back-to-back here? Highly unlikely.
Right.
Highly unlikely. Yeah. You know, it'd be Cinderella stuff, but it just, when someone does what he did last month, to back that up again straight away on a golf course where there's nowhere to miss it. You've got to be piping your driver all day. You've got to be putting it in play. I just don't see him doing it again this time. I just simply don't. But there's so many good players that are playing well. Jason Kokrak, Tony Finau. You know, I could roll off a bunch of English players. The South Africans, Louis Oosthuizen. This young Garrick Higo is a genuine star who won at Congaree last week.
Yeah.
There's Wilco Nienaber. I want everyone just to get used to hearing that name. Wilco Nienaber. He's 21. He made his PGA Tour debut last week. And he drives the ball further than Bryson DeChambeau by 25 yards.
Are you serious?
It is obscene. He hits his
three
wood.
Okay, one more time. The name one more time.
Yeah. Wilco Nienaber. He hits his three wood further than Dustin Johnson drives the ball.
Oh my goodness, it is sublime.
I mean, this guy looks like he's a human one iron. He's so thin, but he just has so much club head speed and hits it a mile. And just watch him. I mean, he won't be able to keep the ball in play this week and contend, but just keep an eye on
the
generation of kids that are coming through now. That, you remember when someone used to hit the ball 300 yards and we're all like, oh, that's huge. No. He hit nine drives over 350 yards last week.
Jeez. Wow. Enjoy it. Have fun. It's a good place. That's where we tend to find Luke Alvey. You're great. We love chatting with you. We'll do it next week.
All right, Ryan. Enjoy the action. I hope Courtney Connors or a couple of the Canucks. There's lots to look out for. It'll be a great week as always.
No question. Four Canucks in the field. That'll be fun. Thank you. There is our boy Luke Alvey from Torrey Pines in San Diego setting up the U.S. Open, which tees off tomorrow morning. And we transition from that into our Euro 2020 report.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Tommy Wilden Jr. joining us. We're going to go from Aussie accent to UK accent. Do you know anyone in South Africa we can call when we're done with you?
I don't actually. Sorry, mate. I've traveled there, but I don't know anyone there.
We'll keep hunting.
Great place.
Maybe a Kiwi? Kiwi?
Yeah.
How are you? What's going on?
Do you know what? Just arrived to the training ground. Just about to set up the morning ahead. Yeah, little skills, little inter-squad action, I think, today, midweek. Get prepped for the games that are going to come thick and fast for us while we're in Winnipeg.
No kidding. Okay, lots to get to. Obviously, Euro 2020 is what the segment's about, but it was a pretty significant night in Canadian soccer last night, as in Chicago, our national team qualified for the third round of qualifying for more qualifying. Mm-hmm. It's the big boy round in CONCACAF. There was eight teams, three will advance to the World Cup, a fourth will have a chance to play in against another continent. Maybe just talk about the game and the achievement for this group. It hasn't happened since 97 for Team Canada, which is a bit of an indictment, but also speaks to how big it was last night.
Listen, and that's great context, because when it hasn't happened that long, people don't know what they're getting into. And what used to be previously known as the hex, and it was six teams going through, now is altered to be the octagon, which people will associate with the UFC. And whilst there will be a lot of cagey matches down in CONCACAF, this is a totally different concept, where the best eight teams in the CONCACAF region compete in what is like a mini league. They play home and away. And the top three teams will advance to Qatar in 2022. And the fourth team will play an intercontinental play-in game, home and away. So it's a great chance for Canada, especially with the squad they've got. I think Herdman, leaders are a question. Coaches are a question for decisions. But I always admire people that do what they say. And Herdman has been very vociferous on, It was a bit controversial when he moved across from the women's to the men's, but he also said, one of the CSA AGMs, that in order to get more money, whether it's right, wrong, or otherwise, for the nation and its investment, it has to be through the FIFA money, through the Men's World Cup. So he's taken the task of doing that. You know, by that will help change the landscape of Canadian football. And the game they played last night, I thought they managed it brilliantly against a very physical team. I mean, the poor kid who scored the own goal for Haiti, Duvernay, is from Montreal as well, so it doesn't bode well for him, and I think that'll be on every blooper reel from here to South Africa. But what that did was, it was already, the game was going the way of Canadians, and they put it to bed. Kyle Larin scored again, and Junior Hoylett, nice give and go off the post, but they took care of it, and you can see with the celebrations and you see with the camaraderie, it now sets up what a fantastic summer, because they got the Gold Cup. Now they go September, October, November in the octagon. And I tell you, it's just now this golden era of Canadian football just keeps advancing. And especially when you look at the women's prep towards the Tokyo World Cup. So it's a great time to be a football fan in this country.
Yeah, no question. It's exciting. And there's been a lot of hype around Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, all these other youngsters stepping up and joining in. It's not a one-man show. It's not the boring, maybe we can get win 1-0 type soccer we watched for seemingly decades since the only World Cup qualification in 86 That said, it's the big boy region now. All the clubs they've beaten so far are teams they're supposed to beat. They did. The Americans and the Mexicans are very, very good. They qualify for most World Cups. They have to be considered the two favorites. The other seven, or I guess the other five teams, and then Canada, where do they stack in against the Costa Ricas, the Jamaicas, the El Salvador, Panama-type clubs?
Well, they're there thereabouts, aren't they? I mean, that's where your Panama's got through in last time. They've got to see, right, Mexico and US, when you're playing them, any points you can get off them is a bonus, because you'd like to think that they would be 1 and 2, just be given the strength and the numbers and the volume they've had year on year. So now you're looking at, right, how can we take points off them to make it bonus and win the head-to-heads against Costa Rica, Honduras, and Panama's, Jamaica's even. And if you do that, you put yourself in a good stead. And then, you know, whoever it is that finishes fourth also has a great chance in the crossover. So I think this is the best squad that we've had in a long time, because you've not just got, you know, good players that are playing in, whether it's Premier League football, La Liga or French Liga, and you've got actual winners. So you look at Alphonso Davies, is a league winner for Bayern Munich, Champions League winner for Bayern Munich. You look at Jonathan David, had a stellar year for Lille. They won the league, you know. Borjan in goal won the. He's a captain of Red Star Belgrade, or a significant Eastern European side. You know, Scott Arfield and even David Wotherspoon won leagues and trophies this year. So they've actually, for me, I think winning becomes habitual, and I think it's showing now on the pitch. Another bright spark, and especially for Calgarians, is, you know, John Urban's brought in Scott Kennedy, who's a Calgarian, as well, and Sam Adekubi is another Calgarian. So now, you know, as a culture here, we like to say, you know, if we want to be there or thereabouts as a city, we've got to put players on the men's national team. And those guys are there and are part of it now.
Exciting stuff. Could go all day in it, but I know you got a meeting at 9:30. Let's get to the Euro. Yesterday, the match day one, the biggest match of them all, was going to be Germany-France. Did it live up to the billing? And what did you see? It was only an own goal that was the difference.
Yeah, it was a great game. So the students of the game will look at it and go, I tell you, there was great tactical chess matches going on. You know, Germany played without a recognised striker, which I think that might have them fall short. You know, Serge Gnabry, who's primarily a winger for them, played down the middle. You know, Müller off and Havertz either side of him. They played a different formation in a back three. Usually they play with a 4-3-3 or 4-1-4-1. But I think Thomas Tuchel, another German, had success with Chelsea in the Champions League. He's probably gone that way. The French played a very patient game, and the midfield three of Rabiot, Kanté and Pogba will be some of the best midfielders in the world, really on their day. And Mbappé, I tell you, if it hadn't been for two offsides, it's a 3-0 game. That's how devastating the French were. They'll allow you to have the ball and then just hit you. So, again, from a purist standpoint, I thought it was a great game. Probably for the neutral, they just thought it was a very tight and a one-goal, own goal, but it was more than that.
This morning, match day two started with Group B action. Russia beats Finland. Boy, they looked real good for the parts of the game I saw. They really controlled the lion's share of the chances. The Russians could have had more.
They could. Again, looking at if you're looking at it by the numbers, you know, the Russians dominate possession 59%, 41% to Finland, which is okay for Finland, but both sides had, you know, Russians had 14 shots and the Finns had 11. So it was an open-ended game, but it is the quality that matters, right? Russians only had 3 on target. Of one of them, though, my word, that Marenchuk goal was good because he's in tight spaces, he's dropped the shoulder and bent it with his left foot, and that's a great goal to win any football match. So it was good. It was good to see that.
Yeah, pretty. Turkey-Wales is Group A action that starts in half an hour, and this afternoon it'll be Italy-Switzerland. That's all Group A. The Italians certainly in the driver's seat after their 3-0 victory for the opening match of the tournament over Turkey. I guess who finishes second and potentially third could move on is what we're going to sort out with the rest of this Group A play. Turkey-Wales and the Swiss will have something to say as well. What do you make of these two games?
Well, I think the Welsh give themselves a chance with their late equaliser against the Swiss, because I thought the Swiss looked totally comfortable, and I think Wales is a team in transition. But again, all you need is sometimes that little bit of luck to get the ball moving. Like we said with Canada having the own goal last night, then led to the 3-0 win. I think Kiefer Moore's goal for Wales has kept them in the hunt. And Turkey, you know, I dubbed them as a dark horse, and I firmly believe there's more to come from them. I just think Italy were that good. You know, Italy should take care of Switzerland quite comfortably, because they seem to have the best in combination of a very tight defence with a very, you know, attack-minded group with Insigne and Immobile. They play some wonderful football under Mancini. But, yeah, I think the Turkey and Wales one, actually, will likely decide who finishes in second place, because if Turkey win, it will then heighten the mood for when they play Swiss in a very key game.
Sure.
So I think it'll be really, really good.
Tommy, good stuff. Appreciate it. Have a good meeting, and we'll chat again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Bye. Tommy Wilton Jr.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. The stunning 2022 QX55 is here. Lease for $299 semi-monthly with $4,995 down on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Got meetings to get to. Heard some noise in the back. Okay, we're taking you late. See you next week. You'll see you tomorrow. Chat soon. Yeah, Russia, full credit for the victory this morning. And Turkey, Wales underway in 33 minutes. The Italians and the Swiss, they're neighbors. Did you know that, Riley? Yeah. They will go head-to-head at one. I believe they're neighbors. I think they're close. Got Austria in there a bit. I'm going to look at a map. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Assess exactly where the Blue Jays are at. Third time in their last five games, their bullpen has blown a lead and given a victory to a divisional opponent. Not ideal. And all of a sudden, they're, well, a bit away back of that final wild card in the American League, despite having the top all-star vote-getter in the American League, despite having arguably a strong MVP candidate in the American League. Decisions. And, not decisions, I guess dilemmas. Decisions, obvious. Go get some arms. And tonight on your radio, we do have NHL hockey. It is game number two from Vegas. Habs will look to split before heading home. Increased capacity at Bell Center. We'll tell you how many fans will be in Montreal for games three and four. It's your home of Stanley Cup playoffs in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to the Nine with Ryan Pinder. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Jays and Yankees, 5 o'clock. It'll be Ross Stripling and his surprising resurgence up against Gerrit Cole, who has been, I don't want to say at the center, but a central figure in the, sticky stuff issue that baseball is dealing with. Pitchers trying to get more grip on the baseball. Won't be boring, that's for sure. We will have that on Sportsnet 1 tonight on your radio. It's playoff hockey, game 2, Habs and Vegas from just off the strip. Big result for a Canadian in Germany today. We're not talking Euro. We're talking ATP men's tennis. 20-year-old Felix Auger-Aliassime. 20. Man, that is young. Defeats Roger Federer on grass as let me make sure I get the name of this right. The Noventon? The Noventi Open from Halle or Halle. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. In Germany. Is on grass, one of the tournaments that the men will get warmed up on as they head towards Wimbledon, the next big major. And Aliassime, a 4-6, 6-3, 6-2 winner over Roger Federer, the 20-year-old, arguably the biggest tournament victory, certainly toppling a star of the sport in good form for him with some final appearances already and some ATP events heading into the grass season with Wimbledon around the corner. Good achievement there. We talked about that Jays bullpen. It is rough right now. We will see what they do. They also have Steven Matz on the COVID list. If you saw George Springer, he's on a rehab assignment in Trenton because the Jays are in Buffalo. He went 0-for-4 yesterday in a rout that Trenton won in. More important than his results at the dish, he did not leave with injury. He left as scheduled after five innings and was healthy and running out ground balls. That could be an interesting story, but it's all about the arms of the Jays. They need to get some arms. Tomorrow morning, we'll talk about just that with Ben Wagner. 7:25, he'll join us. And when we come back, we'll have the news of the day. More on the Blue Jays' blown bullpen situation. Again, they split in Boston despite piling up 30 runs. They've dropped the opener against the Yankees, and all of a sudden they're looking up at three teams in the AL East. You got to reel in probably two if you're going to be a playoff team and get into a wild card. Tampa just running away with things. So we'll have that conversation and the rest of the world of sports when we come back. The Pinder Report, Sports at 960, The Fan.
The Nine with Ryan Pinder continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Some great guests today joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Make it a great night. You can choose from pizza and wings, pasta and seafood, or steaks and ribs. Order now through DoorDash or dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, Atlas Pizza and sports bar. Tommy Wheelton Jr. on our Canadian national team. Also, we had Luke Elvey from Torrey Pines in San Diego ahead of the U.S. Open, which tees off tomorrow. Eric Engels from Montreal earlier today. On and on it goes. But right now, the Pinder Report.
Ryan Pinder. Ryan Pinder. Ryan Pinder.
Bolt strike. Group of death. Canada, Haiti. Jays, bullpen woes.
What are you doing?
Dean, yeah. Music.
All right, fine.
Islanders, Bolts, game two from Amalie Arena. John Cooper's club looking to split the home set after a game one loss. And a good start for the defending champions.
Pilat in to help out. Moved away by Pilat. Kellick up the wing. Savard kept it in. Throw it at top point. Oh, and a chance scores. Braden Point.
Calgary's own, just a mega stud. No big deal. Point makes it 1-0 and rewarded for his efforts by getting launched into Semyon Varlamov later on in the game by Islanders defenseman Adam Pellick. Obviously, you can't allow yourself to be thrown into the goalie like that, Point. 2 minutes in the box, the Islanders would score on the power play. Horrible officiating this spring-summer. I don't know if it's worse than normal or if it's always bad, but you can go ahead and start taking away 15% of those referees' salaries. It's been awful this playoffs. Ridiculous minor. Islanders tie the game at one, but fear not. The good guys would score again, Dean.
Skipped out at center. Picked up by Kucherov. Kucherov circles. Holds on. Now centered alone. Scores! Andre Pollock.
Kucherov just a wizard. Weaving, bobbing, and dipping in the offensive zone. Spotting Palat, who tucks it in behind. Is it Varlamov or Sorokin at this point? Because after...
That was the second period. That was Varlamov back in net.
Varlamov was back in net to start the second.
He's back.
He's back. And by the good guys, yes, I do mean the team that's $17.5 million over the salary cap. That's the... Those are the... You want to separate them.
Dirty cheaters. 7-on-5 goals. $20 million over the cap.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Bettman.
No taxes in Florida. Works for me. Jan Rutta and Victor Hedman would add tallies in the third. 4-2 Lightning, your final. Nikita Kucherov, three helpers in the win.
One word. Look out.
Tampa still hasn't lost two in a row since 2019, as you noted. Good at home. Series tied at one. Back to the asylum on Long Island we go. That building's going to be wound up tied 1-1.
I saw yesterday they had to shut down advanced season ticket sales. You know, that whole thing when your team gets into the playoffs, like, well, if you buy for next year, you can assure yourself of a ticket for this year. They had to put the brakes on it. Like, well, we've got a new building. We don't really know what we're getting into. So thank you for your interest, but we're going to have to stop.
AKA, we're sold out.
We're selling too many tickets.
Too many season tickets. Pump the brakes there, sales team. Everyone just cool down, huh?
Good problem to have.
NHL news from yesterday, former Flames coach has surfaced. Jeff Ward hired by the Anaheim Ducks. He's going to work with Dallas Eakins. I'm sure Eakins was just ecstatic at the opportunity to add Ward, a longtime assistant and associate coach in the NHL.
They might as well have sent me over a fruit basket and a bottle of wine. I was like, man, that is just perfect.
Yeah, he's going to fit in, I'm sure. Anaheim did finish ahead of Buffalo.
Good hair there, right? A lot of manicuring and finely hair coiffed team. Hair on that
good
bench.
Good hair team. If Jeff owns a road bike, they're going to fit in great.
I think you would. Jeff's in great shape.
And Eakins, I remember covering the second round of the AHL's Calder Cup playoffs, and Dallas Eakins did a media availability on game day in his biking outfit, like he was riding for Team UPS at the Tour de France. Interesting cat. Very unique. Anaheim did finish ahead of Buffalo in the standings, and nobody else, Dean. But at least they're named after a Disney kids movie.
Quack, 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 quack.
Tonight, game two, Montreal and Vegas. Oh.
We can't have anyone freak out out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've come too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
Dominic Ducharme just fired up, Dean. It's a huge game for the Habs.
Yeah, wondering who that was. I was going to say, it's Petrie. You better be careful. He's already got hurt.
Petrie's a little, he's on the limp.
Yeah.
Petrie's in the corner holding his, what, wrist? Because he was with the fingers through the camera hole, am I
wrist,
right?
Wrist finger, yeah, something in that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So if he's smashing his hand, like banging his fist like that, I mean, be smarter, Petrie.
Wasn't Petrie.
Figure it out.
Habs looking for a split, and as meh as game one looked at times for the Habs, maybe the final score more than anything, all you got to do is steal one here, and you've stolen home ice. Vegas, though, has won their last five home games, and they're averaging 3.5 goals at home in the playoffs. So that's going to lower that number. I don't know if the Habs get to 4 easily these days. And get a good look at a large crowd. It's going to be the last one in the series for a few games. They're going to play for 3,500 fans in Montreal for games 3 and 4.
3,500.
Good crowd for Junior B, Junior A. Even the Western League at smaller markets. But Bell Center holds about 20.
It's starting to really hit home, right? Fenway was jammed the other day. Wrigley full. Dodger Stadium, I think last night, was full for the first time.
NBA
Vegas
playoffs.
is a madhouse. Yeah. And here it's 3,500. Whatever.
I'm not an expert in the arts of attendance during a pandemic.
Well, I am. And it's poppycock.
Gotcha. Watch your mouth now.
Yep.
Hey, look, the Blue Jays played something that resembled baseball yesterday.
Water.
Yeah, that's not a good omen, is it? Good start for the Jays, though.
13 homers and 39 RBIs. 13 homers, a new career high for Bo. Goes after the first pitch and hits it into the air. Deep right center. Gardner back looking up. Goodbye, home run.
That was Bo Bichette, another home run. He's on a bit of a heater here, Dean, against the Pinstripes in Buffalo. Hyunjin Ryu was just okay yesterday, but 3 earned runs over 6 innings. An uncharacteristic 5 walks. The good news, though, he handed the ball to the bullpen with a 5-3 lead. Well, the good news is he gave it them a lead, and the bad news is it was the Jays' bullpen he handed the ball to.
Scary.
Yeah, it's still scary.
Still
scary.
Okay.
Top 7.
There's a breaking ball hammered deep to right field. There's Teoscar's back, and this one is gone. Brett Gardner. It's his second home run of the season, and it is now a one-run game. Third home run of the night for New York. The slider gets away from Adams, and that's going to tie it up. 2 wild pitches in the inning thrown by Castro, and Adams couldn't block it, and it gets away from him, and the Yankees have tied it up 5-5.
This bleeping bullpen, Dean. This bleeping bullpen. Was not done. Top 8. Tied 5 still. Top 8.
A ball and no strikes to Frazier. And there's a fastball ripped down the left field line. That's going to score a run. Frazier with extra bases as Wade comes in to score. And the Yankees have a 6-5 lead.
Jays would leave the bases loaded in the bottom half. Chapman in to close. He would. 6-5 Yankees the final.
Wait, what's this? Is it?
Seems like we have some sort of a music station bleeding through
Is this an app? Is this a pop-up? Sorry.
Is this Jack FM?
I'll see
what's going on here.
Darn internet with the clips and stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's the worst pop-ups.
I'll figure it out. You can continue if you want.
Yep, no problem. 6 blown save for the bullpen in the last month. That leads the majors.
This one?
And the 16th loss for the Jays bullpen this season.
Weird to be this song, too.
Probably just a coincidence. That's second worst in the majors. 16 losses for the bullpen.
Jeff, figure this out.
And here's Charlie Montoyo. He's upbeat and staying positive. Nope.
All I know is it seems like every day I get a question. So what's wrong with Castro? What's wrong with Chadwood? Or now it's Dolis. What's wrong with Dolis? Why are you pitching Dolis in that inning? It's been every month.
Oh.
I mean, the whole month.
Jeez. Chuck, F-bomb.
My goodness, Chuck.
Holy.
Wow.
Well, only 97 games left, Dean. When's Rhett in Buffalo? We need him in that bullpen. Is he a righty or a lefty?
It's been every f***ing month.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know? What is he? What's your way through?
I don't care about Rhett.
Riley, can you catch the next flight then? You can bring your cleats and your pants. They got the eye black there.
I'm on it.
Wristbands, batting gloves.
I can give up 9 runs in a game.
Yeah. There you
details
go.
On that coming up.
It's a can-do attitude.
Stand by.
And with the win, the Yankees hurdle the Jays in the standings in the AL East. Do you have a shovel for the Jays bullpen, Dean? I don't know how close and handy they are. I know you usually have one in the room.
I don't know what you mean. Like,
oh my God.
Like that there.
Expected starters today, Ross Stripling. He's gone at least five innings in his last four starts against Garrett Cole, who has been good on the road this year, but has also kind of been at the center of this swirling, sticky stuff conversation.
Oh, again?
Why? I don't know what to expect. Keep an eye on Garrett's spin rate, Dean, okay?
Ryan, I'm really sorry about this.
Yeah, don't worry, Dean. It's all good. This is payback for the 15 million times I've walked all over you in this show in the last 2 weeks.
Well, you do like the Ortiz Yankees lose clip there.
It will be in tomorrow if they don't have to use the Jays bullpen. Sportsnet 1, 5 o'clock tonight. Can't wait. Can't wait to see another one of these. Shoot me in the face. Major League Baseball news. How about this? A 10-day suspension announced for anyone using grip enhancement.
Grip?
Grip. Includes anything from spider tack to sunscreen and rosin, which is quite popular, I'm told. The 10-day suspension is paid. So, again, we're going to take your flag away, but you can still compete in the Olympics.
So a pitcher who plays every 5 days is getting a 10-day suspension and getting paid.
Two starts, and he's going to get some of that paid leave, Dean. Yeah. That's what we all want.
God, so good.
Umpires expected to start checking the hands and uniforms of pitchers for substances between innings. Old Pete Martinez has thoughts. We can hear that all day.
Guess what? It's my game, and I dictate how I want my balls to be rubbed up. And if you didn't do a good job at rubbing the balls the way I wanted them and I didn't feel like I was comfortable, I was going to do whatever.
Now, Riley, as someone that does play a lot of baseball, men's, mixed, how do you like your balls rubbed up?
Well, if they're fresh, clean balls, I usually...
Okay, you know what? For both of you.
Diamondbacks! No good on the road, Dean. Do you realize how bad Arizona is? They had lost 20 consecutive games away from home heading into last night.
But a great start.
7-0 on the Giants. Good to see all streaks do come to an end, Dean. Well, soon maybe.
There's a high drive to right. Is it fair? Down the line. It is a grand slam into the water. Can you believe it? And they all score, including the man who hit the ball. Incredibly.
That's 21 road losses in a row for the Diamondbacks now.
What the f***?
It's rough.
NBA playoffs, let's go there.
I'm part of the North.
Nets beat the Bucks 114-108. James Harden questionable to play. Did shoot around in the morning. Going to give it a go. Did get in, but it was all about KD, Dean. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists in the win. He played all 48 minutes. A performance for the ages. The Nets now 6-0 at home.
Kevin!
Durant was sensational.
The Bucks led by 17.
Oh, dear.
And blew it in the second half.
Oh, dear. Tonight, a pair of Game 5s, both on Sportsnet 360, Dino. 5:30, 76ers and Hawks. Trey is balding, and at 8 o'clock, the Clippers and the Jazz. You have any feels between the Clippers and the Jazz? I'm on the Kawhi train. I want to see the Clippers have some success here.
I mean, it's Utah. Sports teams in Utah. Get out of here.
Can I order a cocktail in Utah these days? Because if I can't, I can't get behind that team. I don't care who's on it.
No, I don't. Get out of here. Beat it.
Euro 2020. Here we go.
You'll see all your favorite soccer stars, like Arriaga, Arriaga 2. Bariaga, Aruglia, and Pizzozza.
Yeah, Pizzozza was good yesterday. Portugal 3-0 winners over Hungary. Cristiano Ronaldo, a penalty kick goal, as well as one in stoppage time. Germany, France, the only goal, a German own goal. Oh no, Max Hummels, what are you doing? See the guy that invented this satellite that takes photos in space? I believe so.
That's not the guy.
Today, Finland, Russia, that's in just moments. Unless you're hearing this in the 9 o'clock hour, in which case we should probably delete this part. So you won't even be hearing it if you're listening at 9:58.
I'm watching it right now.
We'll see about that.
Turkey and Wales, 10 a.m.
Delicious.
And at 1 p.m., the Italians and the Swiss. So a Swiss chalet or the Italian sub?
It's not even close.
It's a trick question. The answer is both. men's national team in action last night in Chicago.
Oh, Canada, we stand on guard. We stand on guard for thee.
Standing at SeatGeek Stadium was the two teams and no fans. A winner, a draw would see Canada through to the third round of qualifying for World Cup 2022 and join the big boys of CONCACAF, Dean. The Americans, the Mexicans, the Ticos, the Reggae Boys, Honduras, Panama, El Salvador as well. Three will advance straight to the World Cup. The fourth place team will get a play-in against a team from a different continent. All right. You want to see a bad goal? This is maybe one of the worst of all time.
LaFrance. Two center backs being good tonight for Haiti. Oh, no, look out. What a mistake. Can you believe that happened? Oh, my word. Duverger, Canadian born, doing a solid to his country.
Oof. You saw this, and you sent me this. This is maybe one for the blooper reels for the rest of time.
It is so bad. If you found out today that Duverger, the goalie, was being paid or was in on some sort of a scam to allow Canada to win, would you be shocked at all? It's one of the worst own goals ever.
It's that bad. It really is. They put Canada out to a 1-0 lead. They already were up 1-0 after the first leg. They'd add two more, getting goals from Kyle Larin and Junior Hoilett, who had the choice to play for Jamaica or Canada, but has been playing for Canada the last few years. 3-0 Canada and Chicago, 4-0 on aggregate. They move on for the first time since 97 to the third round of World Cup qualifying. Let's go, boys. Get in there on your own. Let's go. 2022, Qatar, whatever that is. Let's go. Their final eight in CONCACAF. Again, three spots for the World Cup. A fourth, we'll have a play-in game. It's called the
The Ocho.
Right, the Ocho. That's what they'll be doing. 14 games. A home and away leg against all other seven teams. I'm excited, Dean, to see the Canadians host Mexico in November at Commonwealth. Please, 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 please.
Yeah, like it's not going to, because they play three in September, three in October, two in November, three in January, three in March. Can we speed this up? We got to wait till March?
I don't mind waiting until the winter if you drag them outdoors to horrible weather. This is what the Central American teams have been doing to Canada forever. Come play outside in 36-degree full humidity, and we'll throw bags of piss on you. No, you know what? You're coming up to Edmonton. Your woolies. That happens, actually.
What's your mouth?
Telling you what happens. It's CONCACAF. It's wild, man. CONCACAF-y. Kind of like CFL-y. We got CFL news for you.
Get to go in motion any way they want to go, and the score is 4-0. Can you believe this shit? The score is 4-0. I think I'm going to try out for a CFL team and see if I can get mine on.
All right.
Yeah, Snoop wants to play for the Stamps. Their schedule released yesterday. They open August 7 at home against the Argos. Welcome back, Nick Arbuckle. Ha-ha! Labor Day weekend, it'll be the Elks and the Stampeders. They do keep that home and home alive. They'll be up at Edmonton the week after. And Calgary gets bye weeks in week 8 and 14, which I believe in a 14-week season. Was that? No, that wouldn't be the last. It's all very confusing. Full week 1 schedule sees a Grey Cup rematch open on Thursday, August 5th. Hamilton against Winnipeg. It'll be BC Saskatchewan on August 6th, a Friday. And then a Saturday doubleheader, Toronto-Calgary, Ottawa-Edmonton. Montreal gets that much-needed week 1 bye. They're probably exhausted. That's your Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city, and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Randy. Hello, Randy. What's up?
Hey, Pat. F*** off. Bring back Rock.